seat, if you'd like.
If you'll please stand, we'll sing hymn 423.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Almighty God, the fountain of all wisdom, you know our necessities before we ask and our ignorance in asking. Have compassion on our weakness and mercifully give us those things which for our unworthiness we dare not and for our blindness we cannot ask, through the worthiness of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourself, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened to the tent to Sarah and asked, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "Here in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife, Sarah, shall have a son." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm today is Psalm 15. Let us read by half verse, please. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle?
Who may abide on your holy hill?
Whoever leads a blameless life and does what is right.
Who speaks the truth from his heart.
There is no guile upon his tongue. He does no evil to his friend.
He does not heap contempt upon his neighbor.
In his sight the wicked is rejected.
But he honors those who fear the Lord.
He has sworn to do no wrong.
And does not take back his word.
He does not give his money in hope of gain.
Nor does he take a bribe against the innocent.
Whoever does these things
shall never be overthrown.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my suffering for your sake, And in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As Jesus and his disciples went on their way, Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good to be back after a Sunday away. Today's collect reminds us that God knows what we need better than we do ourselves. Also, that what we want is not always what we need. Then our first reading provides a perfect example. Abraham and Sarah don't appear even to be thinking about having children, as they gave up on that years earlier. Sarah's well beyond childbearing age, and Abraham himself would seem to be too old to father a child in the broader sense of that. They're certainly not saying anything here about needing a child at this stage. Yet, the visit by God ends with their being told that they would have a child within a certain time. Now, just after this pronouncement is one of my favorite exchanges in Scripture, and I don't know why it's not included in the lectionary along with this reading. It is next year as part of something else. But the very next verses tell us that Sarah laughs right in the face of God, taking these visitors to represent God. She laughs. It's absurd, she rightly thinks, at least as far as human plans and expectations are concerned. But it turns out to be exactly what Abraham and Sarah and the Jews of all time and the world, including all of us, needed. One of the many descendants of Sarah and Abraham would be Jesus, the Nazarene. Just what we needed and didn't even know it. God knows our needs before we ask and our ignorance in asking. Then there's that whole thing from Paul he doesn't talk too much about, and he doesn't talk about his Damascus Road experience overtly in this reading, but there's another good example. He wasn't looking for that. He wasn't asking God for some sign. He just got knocked off his ass, as the Bible says. Ignorance, our ignorance in asking, doesn't mean stupidity, of course. In fact, it's a really wonderful word to describe how we go through much of life. Well, if you're like I am, ignoring the wonder and beauty and purpose in being alive. We tend to overlook or ignore everything besides what we think is important or valuable. In short, what we think we need. Today, after I leave here, I'm headed to St. John's Church just off Breaker Lane in Austin. In fact, I'll be leaving right after the Eucharist. There, I will celebrate the Holy Eucharist with their Spanish-speaking congregation. We'll also baptize two children, Diana and Edith, who will undoubtedly bring to their parents the wonder and joy and frustration and anxiety that Sarah and Abraham are about to experience in their old age with their children. How many times have we all been absolutely certain of what our children needed, what we needed as their parents? How often, when those hopes weren't realized, did we discover something about ourselves and our children that we couldn't have done in any other way? In my original version of this sermon, I was going to trace the story of my path to seminary and beyond and how that began with some dashed hopes and failures. But it's really not necessary. All of us, whether parents or not, have our own stories to illustrate how God's knowledge of us and our needs has brought us to unexpected places, friendships, and revelations, often despite our desires to go in other directions. I do not believe that God causes us misery to teach us lessons. That is simply not the kind of loving parent I imagine God to be. At the same time, I believe that nearly always when we find ourselves in difficult or worse than difficult situations, divine influence helps us to learn something that, once again, we could scarcely learn by other means. Humility seems to be an important ingredient to a happy or fulfilling life. Really basic humility that says, maybe I've learned a lot, but I'm not God. And then to be open to discovery of something wonderful. We are so often like Martha, and don't get me wrong, We all have a lot of things to get done in our lives and in the world, but we're so often like her and fail to recognize the value of being often, when we can, like Mary, listening for God's voice, even in the midst of hectic and difficult times. Perhaps it's because of the baptisms, at least unconsciously, that I've used the words wonder and joy repeatedly today. If so, it's because of the prayer we say immediately after the actual baptism, the act of the baptism itself. The last words of that prayer are, "Give them an inquiring and discerning heart, the courage to will and persevere, a spirit to know and to love you, and the gift of joy and wonder in all your works." Amen.
He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Prayers of the people. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church,
that we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the church may truly and humbly serve you,
that your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons,
that they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacrament.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world,
that there may be justice and peace on the earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake,
that our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble,
that they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light perpetual shine upon them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others. We pray especially for Jim, Ann, John, David, Jane, Patty, Jill, Karen, Stephen, Sandy, Maureen, Greg, Janet, Chris, Rufus, Kenda, RG, Carol, Sarah, Joy, Alan, George, the Degater family, Martha and family. Are there others? And we pray for those in the military, Brian, Trevor, James, Reed, Kevin, Brian, Jared, Chris, Jonathan, Eric, and all in harm's way. We pray for all who are traveling this week. We pray for all who have died, especially Margaret Asher Butts, who died on June 27th. We pray in thanksgiving with Money Adams, who celebrates his birthday this week.
I ask your prayers and thanksgivings at this time. We pray in thanksgiving with Beth Boyd and Maureen Curran, who celebrate their birthdays this week. We pray in thanksgiving for recovery from the virus by Sandy and Rufus. Other prayers you may wish to offer. Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Please be seated for a moment.
I started to say for fear of repeating myself, but I know I'm repeating myself. I don't like making announcements at this time. One of the great gifts of this scourge we've been through is that we learn to make announcements at the end of the liturgy so that it doesn't interrupt the way I'm interrupting right now. But there are a couple of announcements that I want to make. We had a great time in New Orleans, but you know, not too great a time, just in case you're worried about me. One of the things we did there, our first Sunday, the first full day we had there was we went to church at St. George's Church, historic parish in New Orleans, and it happened to be the first Sunday of the new rector, Stephanie, whose last name I've forgotten, and I'm not sure about the first name, as a matter of fact, but she was wonderful. The people were so happy. They'd been through a two-year process of selecting someone. It was a wonderful day to be there. My guess is they're about the size that we are because there were like 120 people there, but it was the first day of the new rector, and I expect that everybody turned out for that. Anyway, one of the things that they did was the ushers, when they let people go forward from their pews, they had a little squirt bottle of, what do you call it, antibacterial gel. And so they stood here at the end of the pew like this. If you chose, which I did, you can stick your hand out and get a little squirt of that before you come forward to the rail. If you don't, well, you don't. So anyway, we're going to try that out today and see how that works. And nobody's obligated to do anything. I'm grateful to Sandy and Rufus for being willing to do that on short notice. I've already said in the sermon that I won't even go over to the parish hall because we had sort of a rushed up thing of asking me to go to St. John's and celebrate both Eucharist and baptisms in Spanish, which I'm really happy about, but I'm sorry not to be able to visit with you all afterwards. And finally, just because this morning Otis and I were Otis and I. I was watching Otis do what he does. And just wanted to say again, it's really amazing. He's really amazing at what he does for us every Sunday. It's all behind the scenes, nobody knows. And we would be hard-pressed to find another parish our size with someone with Otis's particular talents and gifts. And I'm really grateful to you, Otis, for that. There was applause at St. George's last Sunday, too. End of announcements. So if you'll stand, we'll do what we usually do at this time. I'll let the folks at home see this. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Walk in love as Christ loves us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Oh,
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right, and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, for you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took a cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the peace. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for restoring us in your image and nourishing us with spiritual food in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Now send us forth a people forgiven, healed, renewed, that we may proclaim your love to the world and continue in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. May the blessing of the God of Abraham and Sarah, and of Jesus Christ, born of our sister Mary, and of the Holy Spirit, who broods over the children as a mother over her children, as a mother over the world as a mother over her children, be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.
Thou didst suffer to release us, thou didst.
ourselves.